Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Of course, we're going to recap last night's Monday night football game. We've got a couple of afternoon baseball games, one 4 o'clock Eastern, actually one afternoon game, 7 o'clock Eastern, as the American League Division Series Game 5 was postponed to today. So the Yankees and Guardians will play along with the Phillies and Padres. And then, of course, they'll start the American League Championship Series. And naturally, we were, you know, sort of hoping for a good game last night. I would say, Davis, that was probably the most I've watched a game last night on Monday Night Football. I don't know what compelled me. I guess no baseball game. And I was just at home, like with nothing to do. Shocking. Like I was like, okay. And had some fantasy implications as well and was watching and came away a little unfulfilled yet again on Monday Night Football. But I do want to dive a little bit more into this game coming up for sure.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much after Greg Dulcich hit the 40-1 first touchdown bet for me, that was enough. I was done at that point. You know, I don't need to watch Latavius Murray muck around in the backfield. I don't need to watch, you know, Mike Williams unable to get open against Patrick Surtain. These island games, I mean, really, it is just kind of the dark secret of football, which is that in isolation with how much these games stop and start and how bad offense is around the league right now, this is the... I saw a great study the other day that fantasy point scoring across all of football is 33% down from its highs in 2020. I mean, it is just some putrid offensive products out there. We have, you know, Brandon Staley's going for it, then he's not going for it. They had an 18 net yard punt. It just wasn't a very good game. And honestly, at this point, I can't watch the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos, I know Nathaniel Hackett is not going to get fired midseason, but to me, I mean, like, he can't get on the plane after these games. It's just, they are the, of all 32 NFL teams, I would say the Broncos are the most depressing to watch.
Yeah, and when we do our fantasy standouts, I want to dive more into that. Let's get to our headlines here. Great job, by the way, for their kicker, Dustin Hopkins. He looked hurt last night in a big way. I mean, he may be out next week. I don't know. Like, something's up with him, but I mean, this guy ended up kicking 4 field goals last night, kept falling on the ground, looked like he was hurt, and the Chargers win this game in overtime. Guardians, Yankees rained out. Fans went to the game, sat there for 2-3 hours, and then were told to go home. Kind of rough there. NBA starts tonight, so I do want to discuss this. Is Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook questionable for the season opener? There are a couple games tonight. Robbie Anderson, now a member of the Arizona Cardinals, with Hollywood Brown, out for a long period of time. So we don't get an opportunity all that much during fantasy football season to really dive a ton into the NBA. It sort of starts for us a little bit later in the year. But Davis, here we go. Tonight, another season begins, and certainly it'll be a lot of fun for us to talk about little DFS, and I'm sure that some people are playing season-long fantasy basketball as well. And it does feel like there are several teams that can win the NBA championship this year. It seems very uncertain given what happened with Boston and their coaching, Golden State sort of having the off-the-court issues that they're having. Milwaukee has one of their players out. I mean, who knows what Brooklyn's going to look like in Philadelphia. Kawhi Leonard is back with the Clippers. So these storylines going into the season have a lot of people guessing as to who's going to, you know, really take the title at the end of the year.
I mean, it's crazy. Pretty much every team has a fatal flaw. I mean, you know, the Boston Celtics, one, they ran out of juice last year. One of the guys that they added, you know, maybe try and take some of that scoring load off of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum during the year, already out for the year, Danilo Gallinari. We have this weirdness with the Warriors. You know, Draymond Green and Jordan Poole don't like each other. Those are two of their four most important players. With Steph Curry entering into the age 34 season. The Clippers, I mean, we haven't seen Kawhi Leonard in 2 years. And Paul George, you know, continually is just horrible in the playoffs. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. Paul George is a star in the regular season, really has never put together a string of really consistently great playoff performances. The Bucks have Middleton out. The Nets, I mean, do I even need to elaborate on what it is that we are wondering the Nets are going to do? The Phoenix Suns, their star center that they just gave the maximum contract extension to, still has not had a conversation with his head coach, per the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. They still have not talked to each other. The 76ers, James Harden is always terrible in the playoffs. Like, I mean, you're just going down the list and you're like, there are 10 teams that can win the title this year, which has got to be... That's got to be the most possible title contenders we have had preseason in the NBA since LeBron went to the Heat. I feel like since 2010, this is the most wide open a season has been before it's begun.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas, LA, I mean, Philly is, you know, it can happen for any team this year. It definitely seems very wide open, which will give us some compelling topics as the season rolls on. And tonight, first games in the NBA tipping off this evening. Full slate tomorrow, by the way. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout on the show. Coming up next, it's time for us to dive into our fantasy standouts from the Monday night football game. And as a reminder, for those of you who are playing fantasy football this season, maybe this is the first time you're watching our show, make sure you catch us every day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Grid. Also, for those of you on social media, we'll tell you a little bit more about that later in the show. But for those of you who follow the Associated Press and their website, Sports Grid now featured on the Associated Press websites as well for news and information. So congrats to that collaboration, our team here at Sports Grid, and obviously the Associated Press as well. So well done there. You can find out more about that just by going to our website at sportsgrid.com, or also just going to our Twitter handle. That's at SportsGrid or at SportsGrid TV, or my Twitter handle. I tweeted it out earlier today as well. All right, Monday Night Football last night. We didn't get to 45 points, but at least there were like a couple touchdowns scored. So we'll hit on that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Playing the kickers of the Chargers and Broncos, a very positive proposition going into the game last night in season-long fantasy football. Beyond that, not very good. A couple of you know, basically bailouts. Eckler will be one of them, and Davis and I are going to go through the fantasy standouts on both sides. I do want to talk about Denver a little bit more than the Chargers, because clearly that game was handed to the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers did not play well in this game, but let's and they, by the way, never cover a spread when they're favored, Davis. Just like immediately take the other team. It just, this is years and years of doing this. Herbert last night really fell flat. Like, in terms of needing 15 fantasy points, he just didn't get it. He threw an interception, 238 yards. I think I saw he threw the most passes in a game in a long time without throwing a touchdown. Austin Eckler did catch 10 balls and scored a touchdown, so his game was fine. I don't think anybody played Josh Palmer. Maybe they did with Keenan Allen out. He had 9 receptions for 57 yards. Donald Parham, 3 for 53. As Davis mentioned at the top of the show, a very quiet game. Very surprising, by the way, for Mike Williams of the Chargers. Not sure why he's not getting targets. Gerald Everett mildly involved, I guess, in the game planning as well. But it's crazy to think that even with a low total, the Chargers are at home, Davis. You know, you're going into Monday Night Football. Maybe all you have is Herbert. You need like 10 points. You're like, okay, I mean, 10 points. I mean, that should be a lock. I mean, Herbert doesn't look great. He just doesn't look great. I mean, didn't even throw for a touchdown pass. Eckler, the only touchdown they had was Eckler just like grinding that thing out, getting carried by his offensive lineman. I don't know what to say about the Chargers. They're definitely not improving off last year.
I mean, this is what the Chargers do, right? I mean, every year. I mean, do you remember the last year? Truly think back. Do you remember the last year that people weren't picking them to win the AFC West? I do not remember an offseason the last 8 years where the Chargers didn't make two really flashy offseason additions that everyone's like, oh my gosh, the Chargers, they have an all-star team. No one's going to be able to do anything. And then they win 9 games and they lose games they're supposed to win. And they make every game more dramatic than they need to. And they lose in the first round of the playoffs. And that is just their destiny as a team. I mean, this year, it's I'm not so much blaming it on them this year. They've suffered a ton of defensive injuries. One of the they gave J.C. Jackson $84 million to play cornerback for this team. He ranks 115th out of 118th in PFF coverage grade. He was getting rotated out last night because he was getting burnt by Cortland Sutton repeated. I mean, not that Russell Wilson can complete a forward pass anyway, but he was getting beat last night. Obviously would have mattered more had they been playing a team that could throw forward passes properly. I mean, right now, I do think they definitely miss Keenan Allen. You know, Keenan Allen is the safety blanket. And this guy, Patrick Surtain, I don't really sweat wide receiver cornerback matchups too much, but this guy for the Broncos, I mean, he is just shutting everyone down. I don't think a top wide receiver, I believe the stat is no top wide receiver against the Broncos has more than 44 yards. And I think that was Davante Adams. I mean, this guy is just incredible. So I guess, and remember how mad we were at the Broncos taking, well, I was mad at them for taking Surtain over Justin Fields. Seems like they probably got that decision correctly, but for the Chargers, I think Mike Williams will be fine. Herbert will probably be fine. Eckler, obviously, I mean, he's on pace for 116 receptions. They do definitely need Keenan back, though.
Yeah, for sure. Surtain's dad's a good friend of mine. We used to do radio shows together, played for the Dolphins for many years as well. Really good guy, and he learned from his dad. So good to see. I'm rooting for that kid, that's for sure. Okay, now let's go to the Broncos here, who after the first quarter, I thought, wow, okay, like this is what we've been waiting for all season. Russell Wilson looked fantastic. He completed 10 passes. He threw that touchdown. Davis hit a 40-1. Okay, great stuff. And then it was silence from the second quarter on, like incredible silence. Latavius Murray was the key runner for Denver somehow. He rushed for 66 yards. Jerry Jeudy, 3 catches, 54 yards. And Dulcich was the story of the night for Denver. It's a good story. Obviously, first game ever scoring a touchdown. Let's not diminish that and maybe what he could be in the future. 2 receptions, 44 yards, and a touchdown. So given the fact that I cover sports, I'm very hesitant, as you know, Davis, in doing this, to fire somebody. Like, you know me and my DNA. I don't fire anybody. I'm like, they're humans, you know, whatever. I got to tell you, this may be the first time that I'm going to do it. And the reason why, Davis, is watching Melvin Gordon's postgame. That is the reason why. Now, look, I know Melvin Gordon, Davis, is not who he was. I know he's not a star anymore in the NFL. I know that. But this guy has been there for them. He is their team leader. He is the captain in that running back room. And this dude was so embarrassed on that game, looking up constantly, seeing himself not being in that game. He was not hurt. He was not told anything. And that is shameful. That is absolutely shameful to treat a guy like that, who is probably the elder statesman and the leader of the team, without even a word. I mean, and the fact that this guy can't play over Murray, and they were playing him instead of Javonte Williams, it is just ineptitude. And you were right a few weeks ago. I was like, I don't know. It's Russell Wilson. It is Russell Wilson. Make no mistake about it.
It is definitely still Russell Wilson.
It is. It is. But Davis, I'm sorry. That was terrible. And the NFL Network did an interview. The interviewer did a fantastic job asking him all these questions, by the way. Phenomenal job. I am embarrassed for the Denver Broncos, a $4 billion franchise that went out, signed a quarterback, made a huge mistake. Other teams probably would have done it as well. I get it. Other teams would have made that same mistake. But the way of the handling now of your players, a guy who all the kids look up to and say, "This is," I've been in the locker rooms before, Davis. Horrible look. I think he's going to get fired. I do not think he's going to make it through the first season. You can't do that. You cannot do that in the NFL.
What did I say? What did I say yesterday on the show? We were talking about, you know, daily fantasy, like for the showdown slate, like who's going to get the carries. I said, what do bad leaders do? Bad leaders always like to, this is true in government, military, sports, whatever. Bad leaders point the finger at someone underneath them to make it seem like it's not their fault. Nathaniel Hackett can't point the finger at Russell Wilson. He's making $250 million. They traded, three first-round picks and Noah Fant on a really good contract in order to acquire him. Can't point the finger at Russell Wilson. He's bigger inside of the organization than Nathaniel Hackett. Hard to kind of point the finger at the defense because the defense has actually been pretty, can't score any points, that we can't generate any offense. So I'm going to bring this guy, Latavius Murray, second oldest running back in the National Football League. Absolutely insane statistic. And we're gonna give Latavius Murray the ball. That's going to be who's going to fix this offense. It's bad leadership. It's bad coaching. We are 6 weeks through the season. The Broncos look worse every single week. And by the way, I mean, this Albert Okwuegbunam story, like, I know this really only matters to fantasy nerds, but this is a guy who absolutely was flourishing under the old coaching and is like this really young athletic guy. They spent a third round pick on him. They trade away Noah Fant. They have Albert O. What did they do with him? They crush his confidence. They just totally crush him. They say, you know, you had a bad training camp. We're going to play you behind Eric Sobert, who has been a veteran in the league for seven. Just like not how you should be encouraging and coaching and teaching young players. You know, it's just the reverse of what a lot of great coaches in NFL history have done. Exact opposite of Pete Carroll, by the way, Russell Wilson's old coach, where he's always encouraging to the young guys and letting them play through and figure out their mistakes. He's got to go. He's got to go. He can't be their coach anymore.
Yeah, it's stunning to me to see that sort of stuff happening. And, you know, I was playing against somebody in a league last night that had Albert O and had to cut him, and he picked up the wrong tight end. He picked up Salber. That guy didn't get a catch. But regardless of that, having covered the NFL for a long time and covered baseball, there is no question in my mind that there is at least half the players on the Denver Broncos upset with the way that went down. You got to at least tell the guy, hey, like, we're going to go in another direction. Shocking to see that happen to a guy that's so well-respected in the NFL and one of the older guys on the team. Just cannot do that. We'll take a quick timeout here on FST. More brighter topics coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's opening night in the NBA. A very short slate, so naturally, we're going to have a lot more to talk about with the NBA starting tomorrow, but it's opening night in the NBA, always fun. I have a lot of memories going to the first, you know, game of the Miami Heat season for many, many years. So definitely cool tonight, and we get really good teams playing tonight. So our first huge overreaction, Davis, get ready, because that's coming, you know, on your timeline after the game. Philly at Boston and Los Angeles at Golden State. And so, I know you have like a million other things going on, but like how are like the pricing starting to look here at the beginning of the season over on DraftKings?
I mean, we're locked in. I'm ready to go. No way you can miss some of these opening slates. I actually kind of like these two game slates. There's a lot, the shorter a slate gets, the more like game theory comes into play, and we're focusing a little bit less on, you know, projections. Cause like that's also just kind of the thing with the NBA is, so many guys are just going to get close to their projections. It's going to be the daily fantasy sport that the correlation between projected points and points scored that guys actually get are going to be, you know, that's going to be the highest correlation compared to NFL, to baseball, to hockey, stuff like that. Kind of funny, though, that there are three teams who we definitely think can win the championship playing tonight: the 76ers, the Boston Celtics, and the Golden State Warriors. And then, you know, why not just throw the Lakers in there for good measure? The thing I'm most fascinated to see tonight is, will Coach Darvin Ham for the Los Angeles Lakers, what is he going to do with Russell Westbrook, who is one of the most destructive permanent players in the NBA? In their final preseason game, they brought Russell Westbrook off the bench to be like, you know, 20 minutes a night. You go in, you do your Russell Westbrook thing, get to the basket, you know, don't shoot any threes. I don't think he'll have the stones to do it tonight. I do think Russ is going to start tonight, but that's super fascinating.
Okay, well, we'll find out later today for sure at Shoot Around. Let's go through some of the pricing tonight. We'll start off with the guards. Of course, it probably starts and ends tonight with the opening night for future Hall of Famer Steph Curry, who is priced the highest on the board here at guard at 9,400. James Harden back with Philadelphia for another season, 8,900. There's Russell Westbrook at 74. And then some cheaper prices with Poole, Smart, and Maxey here, one at 6,700, the other two around 5,000. So let's start by building the guard lineup here.
So the guards are pretty interesting because you would assume that, you know, Curry is going to draw a lot of ownership. You're going to assume that Harden is going to draw a lot of ownership, but those aren't like a lot of the, you know, the value plays are actually going to come at the forward spots. You know, Boston is thin in the front court because Robert Williams is not going to be playing. Also pretty interested to see what the playing time for Tyrese Maxey, who is $5,000, kind of interested to see how that breaks down in the 76ers backcourt. Like I would love if they just kind of go with Maxey and Harden together quite a bit. I mean, Maxey got up to, I believe he was 37% from three last year. That is, you know, Harden and if that can hold for Maxey, I do think that that should be like enough spacing for Joel Embiid to do his thing on offense. Obviously, the issue that you run into is then they're playing Tobias Harris on the wing, who is definitely not as much of a floor spacer. Probably my favorite play at the guard spots relative to what I expect them to be owned is going to be Marcus Smart sitting there at 5,200. Don't expect he is going to be like that popular. I think he'll probably be I think probably more people will play Patrick Beverley, who would be the starting point guard for the Lakers tonight if, in fact, Russell Westbrook does go to the bench, as I am envisioning. Smart is actually going to be a huge minute beneficiary if Robert Williams doesn't play, because they can play play some of their three-guard lineups. They'll play Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart together because, you know, Marcus Smart can guard Tobias Harris if need be. So Smart, I really like on tonight's slate.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like the money's going to be made on the next position tonight, because you got to make the key decision here between these three players. Now, obviously, it's opening night. You would assume LeBron James, who is priced tonight at 9,200, will have a good first game. You would assume that. I don't know. Davis will tell us. Jason Tatum is another really good option here, 9,000 for Boston. And then, by the way, Anthony Davis, when healthy, is going to fill up the stat board for sure, 8,500. Jaylen Brown is at 8. Wiggins is at 7, and then Tobias Harris all the way down at 5,900. So when you're building this tonight, I don't, you know, obviously you're going to have to pick two out of three between James, Tatum, and Davis, if that's the direction you're going to go.
Yeah, very important to keep in mind is a lot of these guys, a lot of the studs, they're going to work their way into shape. You know, I don't think Steph Curry is going to play 35 minutes tonight. I don't think Jason Tatum is going to play 35 minutes tonight. When we get to, you know, the Thursday slates and stuff, like, you know, Embiid will get worked in tonight. Like, I mean, these guys just spent 4 months off, which, by the way, kind of a huge difference from the last two seasons of the NBA. I mean, remember how fast last season's NBA started? It felt like we had about 3 weeks off between the NBA seasons because the COVID the COVID shortened schedule, you know, made everything crazy, the bubble and all that stuff. They really compressed the off season. Where this off season, a lot different. So these guys are probably not going to be at peak conditioning. I mean, think of it the same way you would think of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball in April. They're not going to be up at 100% right away. We're going to be working these guys into 112 pitch count basically. However, I don't think that is true of LeBron. I think that what they're going to try to do with LeBron, because this is something he said to the media before, is it's not about the number of minutes per game he plays. It's about the total number of games. So I think what they're going to try and do with a now 37-year-old LeBron James is the games he plays, he's playing as much as he possibly can. I mean, I think he could play 38 minutes tonight against the Golden State Warriors, and then they're going to rest him on a lot of back-to-backs. You know, they're going to use, maybe they're going to stagger him and Anthony Davis on their rest nights to try and keep that up. Anthony Davis, though, stop me if you've heard this before, Craig, already dealing with an injury, already has felt a twinge in his back. Now, we do think that he is going to play tonight, but, you know, I mean, we already are going down this road. There are also some pretty valuable sort of punt type guys at the small forward position. We have Jaylen Brown obviously is not a punt. Mm-hmm. I think Austin Reeves is going to be in the rotation for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's eligible at small forward. And then Lonnie Walker, I would not be surprised to see the more minutes played between Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker, who was, and this is so funny to say, Lonnie Walker was the big marquee addition for the Lakers this offseason. Other than trading for Patrick Beverley, they used their $6 million mid-level exception to add Lonnie Walker from the Spurs into their rotation. I think Lonnie Walker might be the first forward off the bench. He's priced at $3,400, so that's kind of our salary relief option tonight.
All right, fair enough. You also could use Anthony Davis at center tonight as he qualifies there, so that's another option to sort of fit him into the lineup. Naturally, the highest priced player tonight on the slate in terms of overall is Joel Embiid, who's pushing 10,000 here. He's at 9,900. Draymond Green, I mean, this is a pretty big jump down here, Davis, from Davis to Green, 8,500 to 5,800, with Green Wiseman's at 5,700. The ageless Al Horford is at 4,900, and Montrezl Harrell just below that. My gosh, like Al Horford's, I mean, has anybody been playing in the NBA longer than Al Horford outside of Udonis Haslam? Feels like he's maybe LeBron, I guess, right?
And we laugh, but they're absolutely going to need him because Robert Williams is going to be unable to play. So I would imagine that Al Horford is going to start. I would imagine that Al Horford most nights is going to be 28 minutes or so. And they have, they have some other guys. The Celtics always have, you know, the 15 guys who can actually play, which I actually think is one of their advantages. You know, not like guys that they're going to have in the rotation every single night, but, you know, they're going to bring in, the Luke Kornets of the world in there to soak up some minutes. But Al Horford is probably going to be the most popular value play tonight. I see him at 76% projected ownership, and I think he's still probably a pretty strong play there. Obviously, if you can get to Embiid, I think Embiid is actually probably a leverage play on this slate because he's a little bit harder to get than Anthony Davis. I would not be that interested in playing Draymond Green. I would rather play these cheaper. I actually think Wiseman maybe is even a better play than Draymond Green, because I would not be surprised to see some of these younger guys get more minutes to start the year as the old guys ramp up.
Yep, fair enough. All right, so with the season starting tonight, I'm not going to pretend that I have a better idea than you as to who's going to win the NBA championship. The only thing that I'll say is what's interesting to me as far as the odds are concerned, and I'm looking at it here to win the NBA championship. I'm looking for a pick from you, basically. But I guess the most interesting thing for me is that if Kawhi Leonard is healthy and fully healthy and he plays 50 games, what he can do for a team like he did for Toronto a few years ago is intriguing to me, because I just don't see a big fit in the NBA. So I'll take the Clippers. I don't think they're going to win it, but I'm just going to throw my dart and take the Clippers this season to win it all. Who do you got?
The Clippers would be probably my consensus pick, but when including the odds, when including the price that you get, I think the Nuggets are clearly the best pick. The Nuggets were the second best regular season team last year without their second and third best player playing at all. Jamal Murray played 0 games. Michael Porter Jr. played 7 games. Both of those guys are back this year. But I think you're right. I mean, the Clippers are the best team as it stands right now.
Yeah, I think so much of Kawhi, even though he's hard to figure. That guy, I mean, what I saw him do for that team, I just haven't seen anybody do in the NBA for a long time. Just sort of take over a franchise, come in and win, and then gone. Never again. Never to be heard from again. All right, we will take a quick timeout. We got Fantasy Reality next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread from a lot of our sports wagering shows. In addition to the latest news, which you will see the Associated Press teaming up with Sports Grid for content information. So check that out. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Now, before we get to Fantasy Reality, Davis, here's your opportunity. If you want to change your pick, the biggest game of the Major League Baseball season is being played, Davis, today at 4 o'clock Eastern. How about that one? Never saw that one coming, but here we are. It looks like Cortez is going to start for the Yankees, so that's a switch. Cleveland says they're starting Savali. I don't know. I don't know if I fully buy more than 2 innings here. Bieber now would be available for them. Are you switching your pick? I'm sticking with Cleveland. You want to stick with the Yankees?
I mean, look, I know it's very boring, but I'm just going to go with the markets, and the Yankees are a bigger favorite today than they were yesterday. I don't really know what the reasoning for that would be. I guess maybe another day of rest for the Yankees bullpen and potentially what they would get Gerrit Cole in for 2 innings, a la 2014 Madison Bumgarner. I don't know why I just did that to myself. Why did I just ruin my own day bringing up that Madison Bumgarner game? I'm gonna stick with the Yankees. I do hate the Yankees, so it's not as if like this is gonna give me some joy. But I even more hate the thing that small and mid-market Major League Baseball teams do where they cry poor and they're like, oh, we can't possibly spend any more money than we're spending. And I actually would hate to see the Guardians rewarded for that stingy strategy, right? I actually would not like that. And they're going to get obviously way more TV money, way more ticket revenue money if they win, if they advance another round. So I got the Yankees.
All right, I'll stick with Cleveland. All right, it's time now for Fantasy or Reality. If it is over, went out with a win. Let's be honest. Hey, he won on Thursday night, but obviously he was playing with an injury. He's going to be out for at least a month. And if anything goes positively, Davis, we are not going to see Carson Wentz again in Washington. They are not going to let any of those bonuses come in for playing time or anything else. Washington's probably not going very far. Now, Taylor Heinicke, who, let's be real, he did an okay job when he filled in the pass for Washington. I mean, he gave a game away, I think a playoff game. But for the most part, he was a solid backup quarterback, along the lines of a Minshew type. He did a good job. But the problem is, Davis, is they have another kid who they drafted who was really good in college, but seems like he needs some extra time, which is, of course, Sam Howell. So we thought we would start off here by asking the question, Fantasy Reality, the Washington Commanders should start Sam Howell right now over Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, of course. Of course they should. I mean, I think to go another direction, like I think that it would just be very misguided. I think it would be bad self-scouting by the Washington Commanders to go with Heinicke, because the reason you would go with him would be, oh, well, you know, we can still make the playoffs. We can still win the division. We can still do X, Y, and Z. And I just think if you look at the standings of the NFC, you would see that that is pretty fraught. They are 2-4. They are, and look at the other 2-4 teams. I think you would say the other 2-4 teams are better than them. And certainly the 3-3 teams are far better than this Commanders roster. You know, the Packers are 3-3. The Rams are 3-3. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3-3. Like, I just don't see a playoff spot there. And we know what Taylor Heinicke is, right? Taylor Heinicke, in his career, 571 attempts, 22 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, just absolutely gets sacked like it is his freaking job. 7.1% of his dropbacks end in a sack. I mean, it just, what is the point? I mean, what are you learning? You're maybe increasing your win expectancy, I don't know, let's say 5% per game by starting Taylor Heinicke over Sam Howell. But think of what they stand to gain. What if Sam Howell comes in and he's the next Dak Prescott or the next Russell Wilson, you know, a guy who is a day two NFL draft pick and turns out to be pretty good. I mean, even if Sam Howell, and the Commanders should know this, they drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round and got a bunch of great years of him starting for them. Mm-hmm. If Sam Howell can be, you know, a dime store Kirk Cousins, huge win for them as an organization. You got to go with Sam Howell. Total reality.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way here, but not for long. But I think the issue is that the way that you're, you know, sort of posing it is the way that Washington is thinking, which is basically that 2-4, you're not eliminated. My guess is, Davis, amongst all the teams in the NFL right now that are playing, I would say the only people in a building that would tell you the truth, you know, privately, would be Houston. Houston would tell you they're done. This is not their year. And I think Carolina would tell you that they're done. This is not the year. I'm going to guess inside that room in Washington, they feel like, you never know. You know, Dallas doesn't look that good. Giants are a little bit. It's BS. It's a bunch of BS. We know that. We know Washington's going nowhere. So what I want is Howell to hold the clipboard this week, him to be the backup quarterback, and Taylor Heinicke to start. Okay, fine. I'm going to go reality. Give Heinicke that chance. If he wins this week, give him another chance to get to 4-4. But one loss, I give him one game, Heinicke, to show it. And if not, at 2-5, you're done at that point. There's nothing else to talk about. Face the reality. Then put Sam Howell in. Let him spend 1 week as a backup and then start the rest of the season. Hopefully that's the direction Washington goes. I guarantee you that Heinicke's getting more than one game. But I will say fantasy, because I do think one more game would be fine. And Howell has not been a backup yet in the NFL. So make that first transition. And that get in for me. All right, tonight in San Diego, we get game one of the National League Championship Series. The Padres are -120 favorites tonight on the money line. It is Yu Darvish. It is Zach Wheeler. This is pretty cut and dry. Davis, fantasy or reality, the San Diego Padres will win game one tonight.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the Phillies. I think that Yu Darvish just has a wider range of outcomes per start than Zach Wheeler. Now, I guess, well, maybe that's not true, because Wheeler does give up a ton of hard contact. He doesn't have, like, the super elite swing and miss stuff, but he does work pretty deep into games, obviously going to help them save their bullpen a little bit. And, you know, the Phillies do have great left-handed power bats who can totally change a game. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper. How about, by the way, I mean, you want to talk about some hilarious turn of events. We're talking about Brandon Marsh on the Angels 6 months ago. How about Brandon Marsh being in the lineup for the Philadelphia Phillies in a crowning game? I mean, there's just stuff that you can't write. I always kind of like Brandon Marsh, and I do like getting the extra left-handed bats in there against Darvish. So I'm gonna pick the slight underdog on the money line, and I'm gonna say that Zach Wheeler goes ahead and gets it done, and the Phillies win game one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Phillies in this series, and I am going to take them in game one as well. I was totally wrong about LA, but I think everybody else was wrong. I'm now at this point, I'm absolutely sticking to the Houston Astros to win the World Series, and I am not going to pick against them going forward. I think whoever wins tonight between the Yankees and Cleveland, I think they get mauled by Houston. I think Houston mauls whoever they play in the World Series. I just don't think any teams are built to beat Houston. I just don't see it. They come up clutch in every single situation, whether it's Alvarez or Bregman. The three or four pitchers that can pitch. They got these bullpen guys coming in throwing 100 miles an hour for three innings. But JT Realmuto on the Phillies, that's my guy. Got to go with Philly here. And I think six games, Philadelphia ends up beating San Diego. They sort of feel like the Nationals of a couple of years ago were that team of destiny. But I just don't think anyone's getting through Houston. But I'm with you. I got Zach Wheeler winning game one. I think low-scoring games probably throughout is my guess in San Diego. All right, yesterday we found out that the most profitable duo in Hollywood in terms of movies probably should come as no surprise is having Julia Roberts and George Clooney as co-stars in the same movie. Of course, they did all the Oceans movies, which are supremely popular, have a new movie coming out as well. But, you know, kind of got us thinking here as far as, you know, historically speaking, as far as movies are concerned, George Clooney and Julia Roberts, Davis, are the best co-stars that you can have in a movie. Now, this has obviously been proven in terms of reality because of the money, but how about as far as the watchability to this, Davis, fantasy or reality?
So for me, I have fantasy. Obviously, this is just going to depend on, it's going to depend on who you are, right? Everyone's going to kind of have their own take. I would probably go for me if I was starting a movie from scratch, I was going to do it. I would probably go Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. They, you know, obviously like writing partners, and kind of everyone knows the stories of all of those movies. I also think that you could go with Will Ferrell and kind of any of those, you know, Steve Carell, like anyone who is in those Judd Apatow movies. But if your goal is I'm going to do a blockbuster that's not like an action film, and that's not like one of these Marvel movies that like breaks every record ever, you can't really go wrong with Clooney and anyone. And I mean, there is overlap there because those guys, because obviously these two were in the Oceans movies, which are actually great. I mean, the Oceans movies are actually totally fantastic. But for me, I'm going, me personally, I'm going Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. But if I was looking to make a huge, you know, get a big fat check, I would go with these two.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of different options here that you could go with, and I think Davis hit it. It's like, if you're looking for money, I think that this is the right route to go, and it's been proven. I mean, it's in our show today, and it tells the story of the money. But, you know, I think there are some other interesting combos out there, Davis, and the one that really is interesting to me, because the movies aren't great, but I somehow always find myself, you know, stopping on them, but it's Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Like, I feel like every time that they're in sort of movie, like I'm stopping, I'm watching 10 minutes of it, of what it is. It's kind of funny. It's probably not great, but like that combo of those two, and they've done things, you know, on Netflix and also, you know, 50 First Dates and some movies as well. I don't know. For me, that's kind of the one that I probably would stop on as opposed to those two. But I would say that is fair. But it's funny that it's like, you brought up a really good one too, because if Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are in a movie together, in all likelihood, that's got to be good.
Right? You're gonna go see that movie, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one is Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta. I mean, when those two guys, like, come on, Pulp Fiction. Those two guys. I mean, those are some of the greatest movie scenes of all time. Those two together, and I don't know if they've done anything else together other than Pulp Fiction. But those two guys together, I mean, truly some of the greatest film for me of all time.
Yeah, I kind of like how Tarantino puts the same people in a lot of the movies too, and you know, some of the other actors do as well. Bill Murray is a good tandem, whoever he ends up in. That's another one that I'll watch. All right, so that's fantasy or reality. Coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 60, and then we will turn it over to the early line coming up at the top of the hour. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for a full preview of the 2022/23 NBA season. I believe Coach Young is on the show today, so we'll get into that, tell you his thoughts on really the final opinions of what the NBA, especially if you're betting on the win totals today of the NBA teams. Usually most places don't have that sliding number where you got to pick it today or tomorrow. So we'll get his best ones for the season. That's coming up a little bit later in the show. It's tank season as well in the NBA. It's chase the championship and tank for this kid that's going to be the first overall pick. So we'll have that for you. We'll wrap up the show next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In-game live all access here on Sports Grid, your place to be tonight for opening night of the NBA, also Division Series finale in the American League National League Championship Series Game 1. Let's see how we close out the show today. Here's Davis with the Sports Grid 60.
So the last 2 weeks, Craig, when we did our waiver wire analysis here on the show, I was like, you know, there's a lot of good options we want to spend. There's guys at every position. You know, we were adding Kenny Pickett, the Denver running backs, the Falcons running backs. We had some tight ends we were scooping up, O.J. Howard, Taysom Hill, Greg Dulcich, who scored last night. And unfortunately, I have some bad news for our friends out there. This is why you spend the waiver money when there's someone out there that you like. You don't necessarily need to hold it in the chamber, because looking at the waiver wire this week, I mean, honestly, I'm just depressed. I mean, it is so bad and so thin. And the Buffalo Bills are on a bye this week. There are going to be some fantasy gamers out there who are having a tough time in week 7 of the NFL season.
Yeah, imagine having Cooper Kupp and Gabe Davis. Yeah, so that's my scenario this week. I'm looking at Thornton on New England as my top option. Hey, this afternoon, back in my day when I was, a younger guy, all the American League Division Series and National League Division Series were all played during the day. I mean, none of the games were played at night. It was only the championship series that were played at night. I think this is going to be an interesting test to see today how many people watch this Cleveland-New York game at 4 o'clock Eastern, because if it is successful in terms of ratings, I can guarantee you Major League Baseball is going to go back to afternoon games next year. We know that if you put them on against the NBA or against the NFL, those other sports are going to beat Major League Baseball, but it's the only game going on this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern. I wonder what the ratings will be, if that will change the perception going into next year. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to LTN, our great graphics department, our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Early Line is coming up next. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of NewsWire. Until then, have a great day, everyone.